This morning, we are looking again at another parable of Christ. Today, we're looking in Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, we're going to be reading, I will be reading in a few moments, verses 1 through 20, the parable of the soils. As you find that passage, and I encourage you to find it in your Bibles, if you have your Bible with you, and open it, keep it open during the message so that you can see the Word, the truth coming from God's Word. But as you're finding it, let me just tell you, a number of years ago, I had the opportunity to visit a heart cath lab. We had a member of our church undergoing a heart procedure, and after the procedure was successfully done, the doctor came out and he wanted to explain to the man's wife what he had done, and he said, the best way I can do this is to take you in the lab and show you. And she turned and took my hand, and she said, oh, please, Clint, would you come with me? And I said, of course. So we went in together. I'll never forget it. It was like walking onto the bridge of the Starship Enterprise. I mean, it was really like a science fiction location. There was all these computers and graphs, and there were three huge viewer screens. The middle one had a human heart on it. On the sides, there were all sorts of what I would call telemetry. There was just numbers scrolling up and down. And the doctor went over and started tapping on a keyboard, and all of a sudden the heart on the middle screen began to beat. And as we looked at it, he continued tapping, and you could see the walls become transparent, and you could see the blood vessels around the heart, and you could see a black fluid coursing through them, of course, the blood. He tapped on it again, and all of a sudden the muscles disappeared, and all you could see were the blood vessels. If you look on the back of your hand, you see blood vessels there. And that's what you see along the outside of the heart, and that's where the bypasses take place, because those are the vessels that feed the muscles of your heart. The muscles disappeared, and you could see the vessels in the shape of the heart. He tapped again, and it began to rotate. It then began to beat. And then he froze it and began to focus in, and you could look at each little blood vessel, and he showed us one place where there was obviously a crimp. And he said, that's where the plaque has been. And this is what we were dealing with today. He was going to have a heart attack if this closed off. And so he flipped the picture again, and all of a sudden it was open. And he said, that's where I put the stent. It was astonishing. And this was probably 15 years ago. It's amazing what they probably can do today. It's just an astonishing thing to see what these doctors can see in the heart catheterization lab. Well, today, as we look at this passage of Scripture, we're entering God's heart lab. And he's going to talk about our spiritual hearts. And the things that we will learn here today are even more important than the things the doctors learn in the heart cath labs around our country today. So let us turn now to Mark chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. And let me remind you that we are listening to the Word of God. Again, he began to teach them beside the sea. And a very large crowd gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables. And in his teaching, he said to them, listen, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil. And immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seed fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. And he said to them, to you it has been given the secret of the kingdom of God, but to those outside everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see, but not perceive. They may indeed hear, but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven. And he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. And these are the ones along the path, where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy, and they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires of other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. But those who were sown on good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit, 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. May God give us ears to hear and understand the word of God as it's shared with us here today. As we think about this very famous parable, I think the first thing we need to realize is that ancient farmers were inefficient farmers. Those poor fellows didn't have the chance to go to Clemson University and study agriculture, one of my alma maters. I didn't study agriculture there. I knew all about that before I went there. But what these fellows did, instead of plowing the ground and putting the seed in and covering it up as our farmers do, they just scattered the seed everywhere. It was scattered indiscriminately, and then they plowed the ground. A parallel account to this parable. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. This represents the hearts that hear God's word, that believe it, to understand it, and bear fruit. And this parable has a surprise that would have shocked everybody that first heard it, but it goes right over our heads. And the surprise is in the amount of fruit these gardeners get. 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. That was unheard of in Palestine. If you gardened the way those guys garden, just throwing seeds everywhere and then plowing what you can, you'd never expect a 30-fold return on the seed that you planted. When he said this, every farmer's ear perked up. Wait a minute, what's he talking about here? And what Jesus is simply saying is that when we follow him, when we trust in him, the response, the results, the fruit is far beyond anything that you and I can imagine. Paul mentions this in 2 Corinthians 4:17. This slight momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. And in Romans 8:18, one of my favorite verses, I consider the sufferings of this present time not worth comparing to the glory that is to be revealed in us. There's a great reward coming to those who hold fast their faith, those who believe the word, those who hold on to it, even with weak faith, but continue to follow Jesus Christ. The reward is beyond anything that you and I can ever imagine. Now, in conclusion to this parable, I'd like to say a couple of things. First, you might wonder, well, why'd you do all these at once? There was a time when I would have preached 4 sermons on this one parable. And I decided not to do that this time because Jesus gave the parable in one setting, didn't he? He wanted everybody to think about all 4 of these soils together, and I wanted us to do that and not get it spread out too much. But there's a couple of things we need to see about this in conclusion. One of the concluding remarks that I think is important about this parable is the idea of patience. Patience with yourself, patience with your Christian friends, and patience with those that you are witnessing to who do not know Jesus Christ. The image Jesus uses for growing in grace is not a bottle rocket. It's up in the air. But what? A garden. Now, many of you have planted plants. You don't plant a seed today and see it come up tomorrow. I always go out and look for it, but it's never there tomorrow. It's never there 3 days from now. It's never there 5 days. Usually 7 to 10 days, the quickest plant will start coming up. Gardens take time. If you are struggling with your faith, if you are dealing with doubts and fears, don't give up on yourself. The plant will grow if you don't give up, if you continue to trust Christ. If you're sharing your faith with someone, and I hope you are, If you have a friend, a family member who does not yet know Jesus, and you're praying for them, and you're trying to show them love, and you're trying to explain the gospel, don't give up. Don't give up. I have a friend whose mother was a French Jewish lady who met his father in World War II. His father was a GI. And when he became a Christian in 1970, he began to witness to her. She absolutely did not want to hear a thing about Jesus Christ. Don't tell me about him. But he and his sister continued to pray for her. And he witnessed to her as he had an opportunity. Not bugging her, but just trying to show her the love of Christ. And last year, at the age of 92, she confessed Christ as her Savior. The next to the last Sunday that I was in Hilton Head, I baptized her. It was a wonderful thing. He said, my dad prayed for her for 63 years to come to know Jesus Christ. And she did. And her whole life has changed. Seeds don't grow overnight, but they do grow. They do grow. Don't give up on yourself. And don't give up on those that you're witnessing to. And if you're struggling, as we all should be struggling, with your own heart, the garden of your heart, you got a lot of weeds in it. If the soil is hard, if it seems to be rocky and you just feel like you don't have the perseverance you ought to have, remember that Jesus is the master gardener. Or to put it in a different way, you want to talk about hearts? He's the one who's able to change hearts, to give you a heart transplant. Ezekiel 36, 24 and 26 says, I will take you from the nations and gather you from all the countries and bring you into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness. And from all your idols I will cleanse you, and I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put in you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. Jesus can change the hardest heart. And if you've got these weeds that continue to grow in your life, as I do, I'm a sinner. Keep bringing those things to Christ. He's the one who changes hearts. As I said before, faith is not measured by how much confidence you have. Faith is not measured in how much you always know. Faith is measured in its object. If you're trusting yourself, it's lousy faith no matter how much confidence you have. If you're trusting Jesus Christ, then that faith is invincible, no matter how weak it might be. Do you remember the story of the man who had the boy with a demon in him? And he came to Jesus and he says, Sir, my son is demon-possessed and the demon's almost killing him. And I brought him to your disciples to cast him out, and they couldn't help him. If you can do anything, please have mercy on us and help us. And Jesus said, if you can believe, everything is possible to him who believes. And the father cried out with tears. And he said, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. You hear that? I got a lot of doubts, and I got a lot of fears, and I'm twisted from here to there. It's my boy. But I'm coming to you, Jesus. And what did Jesus do? He immediately healed that young boy. That's his power. When we come to him in weakness, when we come to him telling him the truth about ourselves, he already knows the truth, doesn't he? He knows our hearts. No need to play games with him and try to pretend you're better than you really are. Bring him your heart, as foul as it might be. He can change it. He can grow his truth there. He can change our lives as he has changed the world already. As Jesus said, let him who has ears to hear, let him hear. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we pray that you would give us ears to hear and hearts to believe your truth today. Father, we are sinners. Every one of us here, whether we know it or not, we are sinners. But those of us who are believers, Lord, we know that we are sinners. We ask you to forgive us. Forgive us for our fears, our doubts. Forgive us, Lord, for our selfishness. Forgive us, Lord, for our coldness of heart toward you and toward others. Forgive us, Lord, for grudges and for lack of forgiveness to those who have hurt us. Help us, we pray, to turn our hearts over to the Master Gardener. And we pray that you would sow your truth in them today, and that truth would never leave us nor forsake us. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.